And I've been told numerous times, single moms do not start nonprofits and succeed. Well,
sure.
That only fueled my fire. I was like, watch me.
Hey, welcome to the More Than Money podcast. This is Chris Burns. I hope you're having a great week. And thank you so much for joining us. Y'all get excited. We do a lot of great podcasts. This one is exciting. Kids Boost is an organization that we've talked about before on the show. But I had the chance to sit down with Kristen Witzel. Kristen is the founder and director of Kids Boost, the visionary behind it. And I was blown away by two things. And I can't wait for you to hear her talk, because I think you will get caught up in her energy and in her passion for this, just like I was. But there's two ways this is going to move you. One is what Kids Boost is doing. Okay, they are truly taking a different approach to having kids see that they have a voice, that they have power, that they can impact the world around them. So often when I was growing up, if I was going to do a fundraiser, if I was going to, you know, do a walk-a-thon or do, I think I did Sally Mae gift draft to raise money for my school, but it was always because I wanted the toy that you got if you sold enough or whatever, right? Kids Boost says to kids, hey, look, we want to inspire you to go and raise money for whatever organization you're passionate about. And you get your own coach to do that. In fact, they give kids a $100 grant to take that $100 and say, how much money could you make with this if you went out and lived out your passion and tried to raise money for something you care about? And it's unbelievable what kids are doing. They're raising funds, but they're also learning skills like how to manage money, how to plan events. It's a really neat process. So I'm so excited about that, and you'll hear that in the podcast. But secondly, y'all, I'm so excited about Kristen's story. I think you will be inspired, because I meet with a lot of entrepreneurs. I'm an entrepreneur. I meet with a lot of entrepreneurs. I understand how crazy it can be, but she literally had this dream and passion, left a solid job where she was doing well to pursue this, and has been through it, has been through ups and downs, has sacrificed a lot because of her passion for this. And you'll hear that in her story. So, and two things here. One, if you're a parent, I hope you're inspired for your kids, for your grandkids, of ways they could get involved with Kids Boost. But also, just if you're someone who has a dream and you go, man, I don't know how to go after that, her story will inspire you. I was so thankful that she took the time to sit down with me. Her message is getting out all across Atlanta and really across the country, so it's exciting to see that happening. But if you have any questions or want to learn more about Kids Boost, how you can be involved, how you can support them, how your kids could get involved with them, go to their website. It's kidsboost.org. Again, kidsboost.org. They have all the answers there. Most importantly, enjoy this conversation. I think it will inspire you, with Kristen Witzel from Kids Boost. So my first recording experience ever was at the Cumulus studio where they did the Burt Show. I was on 106.7 for a while, which is the news station there. And I just remember the first time I ever walked in, having never sat in front of that kind of microphone or done anything like that, I was terrified out of my mind. So yes. What was your experience going? Do you have a background doing
none.
Public
no.
stuff like that?
And my first experience was we went to go present a check with a kids booster to Bert for Bert's Big Adventure.
Right.
For his nonprofit. And so we did it off the air. It was on the air, but during a break.
Right.
And I told the little girl, I was like, you're not going to really get to meet Bert. It's a big thing, but we'll go and at least give the check to his nonprofit.
Sure.
And, but Bert saw it and started talking. And within like 20 seconds, he was like, hey, do you want to get on the air? And I was like, okay.
And so, he's totally laid back, and you're
yes.
like, yeah.
And so literally he popped me, Savannah, who was our kids booster, and Savannah's mom in headphones. And within 20 seconds, we were on the air.
Holy
so there was
cow.
No time to overthink it.
Yeah.
There was no time to really, oh, but it went well. And I thought, oh, that'll be the last time
yeah.
that we'll ever, y'all ever get that opportunity.
That's amazing.
And his producer called a couple days later. And so then it was kind of like, you know, at first I would get really, really nervous. And now it's become, it just feels like casual conversation.
That's awesome.
They make it comfortable. And now I get critiqued by my son. He'll tell me, "Mom, you sound like you need to clear your throat, or you said this word too much." I'm like,
"Thank you,
thanks, dude."
Yeah, starting out, I worked with this guy, and he still does some work with me. But he would actually, I paid him to critique everything we did, and so every week after I would do a show, I would get a literally like a 4-page single spaced critique of the show, down to the inflection on this paragraph and the way. And it was so good though to get in the mindset of just. Critique is fine.
Right.
And that's okay. And then,
but did it get in your head some?
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
The hardest part for me is that if I truly think that nobody, like if I get in front of a group of people and I can see them, mm-hmm. I could get up in front of 1,000 people. And if I'm just in the room with them, you can feel their energy.
Right.
We're totally good.
Yes.
But when it's in a radio room and you're the only one in there, there's one other, worst for me is one other person. Forever at Cumulus, I worked with Jackson there. Jackson's one of the engineers at Cumulus, and he's a Rock 100 personality. If I say DJ, he gets angry.
Okay.
Radio personality. Uh-huh. So we're still good friends. But he would sit in the room while I did it, and if it was just me by myself, it was fine. And if it was me with 100 people, we're great. But if it's one person staring at me, and it's like they laugh or don't laugh at the joke I tried to say, then it's just totally gets in my head.
Yes.
And so
I get it.
That's my experience. But that's cool. You can't really be trained in being able to walk in and just be yourself in that setting. So that's neat. Did you know that about yourself before you?
No, I had no idea. I never even would have called in the radio to like win a contest or something like that. Right. Like absolutely not. But I do like talking in group settings. I do like presentations and stuff. That doesn't intimidate me. So now I guess the radio, what's interesting now is I'm prepping kids to just be themselves on the radio. And that's hard to do, to tell an 8-year-old, to tell a 14-year-old, you know, just be yourself. They want the energy. It's okay if you mess up. You know, people are people. It's okay. We just want you to share your story. And so it's interesting because I get to see these kids kind of come out of their shell a little bit, and kids that are super duper shy when meeting with me, all of a sudden they're like enthusiastic and getting into it on the radio.
That's really
so neat. It's fun to see.
I feel like it changes. So when you said the first time you were there was one of the kids was with you.
Yes.
I've noticed for me that if I am in a role of like facilitating or leading or coaching someone else, then I can do anything fearlessly.
Right.
But if they're not, but if it's just me, then I'm totally in my head.
Exactly. I mean, that is exactly my situation. Every time I've just gone on by myself and talked about Kids Boost, every time I get down, I'm like, that was horrible. Like, why would they even air that?
Yeah.
You know, just because, but when I have a kid with me, it just goes, it feels natural. They bring a different level of energy. You know,
totally.
Could listen to kids a lot quicker than I think they can listen to me.
And they're looking at you to be calm
and
to be helpful and to be encouraging.
Yes.
And so you don't have time to get in your head about it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Well, that's mine. Totally been my experience with it too. So when we were back in Thanksgiving, we did the update every day on the radio, and we did a series of featuring nonprofits on the update. And somebody brought to us, I think Alan brought to us this idea of doing Kids Boost, and we'd had all these different ideas of different groups. And when he started explaining, I was just totally fascinated by this idea because living in the world of, first of all, everyone thinks financial planning is boring and terrible. When I tell people what I do, it's an immediate conversation killer. It's like, oh, financial planning, that's great. But we have such a miserable track record as a society of helping teach our kids what it looks like to be healthy financially. And even just saying that sounds really boring, like teaching someone to be healthy, but like not just to say, how do you invest well, though that's important, or save, but how do you truly give to others and make impact and see how exciting this can be? And so I'd heard versions of something like what you guys are doing, but never anything quite like it. I would love to just hear a little of your background on this and why you developed it. And I've tried not to think too much about it so I could just listen and people could hear fresh from you what's going on.
Sure. So I worked at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta for almost 15 years.
Right.
And I worked as a child life specialist. And what that really means is we get to know families on a different level. I always say we don't poke, prod, or ask for money. Mm. We're there to be kind of the safe people and help with the hard stuff. We do a lot of education, and we help kids through whatever it is that they're going through at the hospital. Hmm. We always bring the fun to them. So we're the ones who bring the prom to the kids that miss the prom or celebrate their birthday. But we're also there to help them navigate through important topics like cancer and death and big topics. So I've always had a background in child development, and I've always realized that kids are capable of so much more than adults give them credit for. They're smarter than adults think. They know more. And so I got to meet this one child named Jared. And years before that, he had been at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, and he had a horrible bike accident and broke his arm, which doesn't sound like a horrible injury, right? Sure. Relatively. Yeah. Well, he severed his main artery.
Oh, wow.
And he almost died. But Children's ended up saving his life. And they told him, though, you might not have any mobility in your arm after this. After 20-something surgeries, not only did he have mobility in his arm, but because he went through the rehab program at Children's, one of his favorite things to do was wall climbing. And so I met Jared because he wanted to give back to Children's, to thank Children's. And so
how old was he?
He at the time was around 12. Okay. His accident happened, I want to say, when he was about 6, though.
Wow.
But he came to us and just said, I want to do something. I want to thank Children's and I want to give back to Children's, which is a common thing that I've noticed. And so he didn't just want to collect something. He wanted to do something a little bit more meaningful. So we brainstormed and I asked him, what do you like to do? What would be fun for you? And he told me about his wall climbing and that he really enjoys it. It was therapy, but it was also at the same time cathartic for him, and he enjoyed it. And so we ended up doing Jared's Climb for Kids, and he got people to pledge per wall that he climbed. And then he ended up donating $2,500 to Children's.
Wow, as a 12-year-old.
Holy cow. And so I got to go and do the check presentation with him because I'd kind of worked with him from start to finish. And I saw this 12-year-old pass over a check, and I thought, how amazing would it be if every child had the opportunity to give back to something that's meaningful to them, but in a way that's meaningful to them.
Yeah.
And that's when Kids Boost was born. So I had this idea, but I loved my job. Yeah. I loved Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. I was very proud of the role I was in. I was a manager at that point. I was also a mom. And so a single mom.
Yeah.
And so I thought, and I hate to use that, but I was like, well, I mean, what time do I have to start something with this idea?
Legitimate, right? Like you have a steady job.
Yes. That I loved.
You're enjoying it.
Yep. Okay. I thought I was going to retire from Children's.
Wow.
But it just really sat on my heart, and everything kept coming up about, you know, what are we doing just to help kids be better people? Mm. And as my son grew up, I wanted to instill values in him of giving back and community and philanthropy. And I started looking, what's out there for kids? There's nothing. There's very little. And he went to kindergarten and he came home, and I'm sure, you know, you can relate to this. If you have kids, everyone can relate to this. And I'm on PTA, so I get it. But he came home and he did the whole running laps.
We did a lot of those.
Yes. And I get it. Schools need money. But I said, where's your money? Where's the money going?
Right.
I don't know. Well, all he cared about was the light up ball that he got, or the crappy pen, or whatever it was.
Totally.
And I had to give him a
point.
Yes.
Is I want to get to the next prize level.
Exactly.
Right.
And it was, Mom, I need $125 because I have to have this Frisbee. And my mind took me right back to Jared, that little boy at Children's presenting the check. And I thought, we are missing the mark with our kids. You know, kids want to give back. They want to do something. They want to make a difference, but they don't know how. And there's all these great opportunities out there, schools, scouts, all these things raising money, right? Baseball teams, whatever. Yeah. But we're not giving kids a voice.
Right.
We're telling them how they're going to raise the money and who they're going to give it to. Mm. So Kids Boost is all about taking kind of all of that away. It is about asking the kid, our first question always is, what makes your heart happy? They come with a list, and that can be anything. It can be, you know, sports, it can be people, it can be places, colors. I had one kid just write potatoes. You know, yes.
That makes his heart happy.
Yes. And that was the only thing on his list.
I could agree.
Yeah. I was like, is this totally kind of like a shrimp thing with Forrest Gump? Like, do you just love every kind of potatoes?
Yeah.
And sure enough, I mean, he did. It was like, he loves potatoes. I was like, okay, we can do something with this.
We'll get along with this kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. Like French fries. And anyway, so, but it can be like, we've had a lot of kids write slime right now. There's a big slime craze.
Sure.
But the one thing that's constant on every kid's list is making people happy or making a difference. I've never met a kid who didn't want to. And so with that list of what makes their heart happy, we can help them not only identify who they want to help, but also how they want to help.
Sure.
So what we do is we give kids $100, a one-on-one coach, and we help them turn that $100 into more for a charity of their choice, but in a way that's fun for them.
Wow. All right. So the first, there's so many questions coming out of this, and I've wondered about this because I knew the basic template a little bit. But one of the first for me is, again, going back to just, you had this remarkable experience with a kid that really of his own initiative came and said, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. And you helped facilitate that at Children's. What was the process for you personally of going, I'm a single mom. I have a steady, solid job. I enjoy my job. If you asked anybody their opinion, I'm guessing they would tell you, keep doing that.
Right.
Right. How in the world did you go from that to where you are now? What was that process like?
It's a good question.
Because I, as an entrepreneur, that totally fascinates me. How do you move into that?
Yeah. To be completely honest, I have to say that a lot of it, I think, was finally listening to my own heart and my gut and God. It was very scary and continues to be, I'm not going to lie. But it was this constant nag in my heart of this idea that, and I think really wanting to raise a son who is thoughtful and generous and kind and having really great intentions, but life gets in the way, realizing that, and I would consider myself more so than an entrepreneur as a problem solver.
Okay.
I really love problem solving, small, big, but I'm really big on don't complain about something unless you're going to take a step forward and make a difference or be a part of the solution. And so with that kind of mindset that I've always had. So what I started to do was I did it on my own. So I took a couple $100 out of my savings,
okay,
which is a lot of my savings at that point. Yeah. And I borrowed neighbors and I said, I have this idea.
Wow.
Will you just try it with me?
And you didn't have any nonprofit set up?
No. This was just let's see what happens.
Like? How many years ago was it that Jared did the wall climbing?
Jared is now a freshman in college. So not that many years ago. So it's been about 6 years.
Okay.
And I sat on it for a couple of years for sure.
Yeah.
And shared it with a couple of people, but again, just was scared. I was like, there's no way I can do this. And I'm very practical, Polly. So I was like, there is no way this is in my anywhere in my future.
Sure.
But then I was like, you know what? I grew up with parents who were very loving and very community driven and loved people very well. And so I thought, you know what? I had lost my mom. Very suddenly and very tragically. And that always gives you a new perspective of what's important in life and what do you want to be remembered for and what can you do to make the most of your life and the most of other people's lives. And so with that, I think it gave me just try it. Let's just try it. So I stole some neighbors and I said, just humor me. I'm going to give you $100. And here's this 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 16-year-old looking at me like, what?
Okay.
And I said, and you know, let's just see what happens. And I did that with them. And I said, pick a charity that means something to you, and, or a population, you know, is it animals? Is it a hospital? Is it elderly, military? What is it that speaks to your heart? And we don't ask our kids that.
Potatoes, right.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we don't ask kids that. Typically, we just assume, because we may tell them who we personally donate to, but we don't ask our kids who's on your heart. And so the answers were awesome. And so I said, "What now, how can we do it in a fun way?" So for instance, one little girl, Addison, who actually has come back and done another Kids Boost project too, she decided on Lighthouse Family Retreat, which is a Christian-based organization that allows families that are undergoing a chronic or terminal illness with their child to take this wonderful week vacation where they are just pampered and loved on, and to get out of that medical setting and just be a family, go on a date, you know, have meals cooked for them. Wow. And so she had actually seen Lighthouse Family Retreat on vacation with her family and connected to it, but her parents didn't realize how connected she felt to serving and helping them. And so immediately she knew who she wanted to help. But we tried to figure out how. So I asked her, "What do you love? Write it down." And on the top of her list was ice cream.
Okay.
So she did a Sundays on Sunday just at her house. And I gave her $100. And I said, "Now you can go and spend that money, or you could be brave and you could go and ask people for donations and talk to managers and tell them what you want to do and see if maybe they'll donate. And any money that you don't spend will go to Lighthouse Family Retreat." And so she hosted this wonderful ice cream social, invited friends over all afternoon. She made posters and had materials out about raising awareness about what is Lighthouse Family Retreat and how people can help them, which is a large part of Kids Boost too. It's not just about money. It's about awareness.
Yeah.
And so with that $100, I think she only ended up spending about 20, but she was brave enough and she went. And I remember she called me, her mom called me from the Kroger parking lot and said, "She can't do it. I can't do it. She's nervous. She's freaking out." I said, "Listen, let me talk to her."
Like to go talk to Kroger about donations?
Yes.
Okay.
Because adults don't even want to do that.
No, nobody does that.
Who wants to go ask for something? It's hard. And so you can imagine an eight-year-old. And so I got her on the phone. I said, "Listen, I'm not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. This is supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
And if at any point it's not fun, we're going to connect. But let's practice." And I said, "If he says no, is it because he doesn't like you? Or is it because he doesn't like to help sick kids?" "No, it's because he can't."
Right.
"So what are we going to do at that point?" And she was like, "Go ask somebody else." I said, "Exactly.
Yeah.
We're going to first celebrate it though. This first no you get, we're going to celebrate. We're going to go get ice cream. As long as you promise me that you'll go do it again." And so she said, "Deal." So she walks in, she goes into Kroger, she talks to the manager, and you should have heard her. She came out a different kid. He had given her a $25 gift card, and she was on top of the world.
That's incredible.
And so she did that with a couple different stores, and soon she had all of her toppings, all of her ice cream. She just had to kind of fill in the blanks a little bit with her $100 startup money. And at the end, I want to say she ended up turning her $100 into about $700.
Wow.
And so then we went and did a check presentation at Lighthouse Family Retreat.
Yeah.
So she got, along the way, she learned about money management. She, the biggest thing I think that her mom would say that she got out of it was building of courage and esteem.
Well, that's, I mean, that's what I was going to say is that on its face, just going, hey, raising up kids to understand the power of giving and to unleash that in them. It's not just a come do this canned, you know, I think we did gift wrap sales when I was a kid, you know, whatever it
is.
As fine as that is, it's like, no, we actually want them to see they can make an impact. But the skills underneath that you want to teach kids, but if you try to teach them by just saying, we're going to talk about planning today, it's the most boring thing on earth.
Right.
But what an amazing way to teach them all of these practical, real skills that they'll need. I mean,
exactly. I'm sure we even talk about taxes.
Yeah. I mean, holy cow.
Yeah.
Because they want to learn it.
Yes, they do.
In what other context would a kid ever have any interest at all?
Right.
In that? Yeah.
So we talk about taxes and tax receipts.
I talk to my kids about taxes because I'm a nerd and they just ignore me.
Right.
So,
but I'm telling you, if you incorporate the things that they love.
Yeah.
It's amazing how these little kids become like business minded.
Yeah.
And we set them up for success. We give them their own portfolio. We give them a money bag, a pad of paper, a pen, everything that they need. We give them resources. They get their own website that they upload their information and tell their story, their why.
Yeah.
And you know, we give them that one-on-one coach that's a third-party adult, because kids listen to other adults, let's just face it, more than their parents.
Oh, no. We know that. Yeah.
So, you know, having that third-party contact is huge. They talk with their coach weekly. They actually have to talk on the phone, which is another thing that has been a huge... How many kids talk on the phone?
No one does anymore.
Right?
Right, yeah.
So this is... We always say, like, we're going to require you to make a phone call. And the older kids, the younger kids are fine with it. The older kids are like, what? We have to, like, I can't just text you.
And I'm feel like, bad. No. When I call anyone under the age of about 28 at this point, and they, I actually feel like I'm intruding on their space.
Absolutely.
I'm like, I'm so sorry to actually talk with you.
Right.
Yeah, I totally get it.
Yes.
It's strange.
And so we're making them like communicate and talk to adults. And the first, you know, we call it fun work. It's not homework, but they get little, that coach helps guide them. So it's not this overwhelming project. They guide them. Okay, what's first? Then what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And help them with that project management and learn it.
Right.
But ultimately, they're the boss. We tell the kid, the only time we get to veto is if it's not safe. But other than that, you're the boss. So we talk about the expectations of the parents, which is really just to be a cheerleader, logistical support, you know, to be their assistant.
Yeah.
But the child, it's the child's project. So we don't want parents making the posters. We don't want, you know, the parents asking for donations.
Sure.
It has to be the
kid. Which, by the way, is I don't know. We always look back and say, well, old generations did things one way. And we kind of look back at the good old days. I don't really believe in the good old days, that there was some time in history when everything was wonderful and sweet and like Mayberry-esque or whatever. But at the same time, my grandparents, who I reference a lot, they really didn't do most everything for their kids. I mean, there really was a feeling of, like, for instance, if my dad wanted to go to college, he had to make that choice and figure it out. And I mean, there weren't these parents that were really paving the road. And it's just normal in our culture now, at least for me with my kids. I am deeply invested in that. And maybe there's great parts of that, right? But I'm invested in every part of their lives, giving direction to it. And where do they have the freedom to go, I can make a mistake.
Right.
What if I mess this up? What if it doesn't work? What
right.
if I'm embarrassed? What if we don't raise money? What if the person says no to me?
Exactly.
Like, I wonder how many times I give my kids that kind of opportunity.
Yeah. And we talk through all of those things. Yeah. And quite honestly, sometimes the parents are the ones that we really have to talk to the most and push a little bit of, like, let them spread their wings.
Yeah.
Like, we are, you know, we're going to help them succeed. And you have a wonderful kid. They can do this. And I'm telling you, a poster made by a kid is far more spectacular than anything you could go and buy.
Sure.
And so it's just getting into the you know, the whole perspective of, we don't want perfection.
Yeah.
We want this to be legitimately your child's.
Yeah, that's neat.
But their first assignment is to really research the nonprofit organization that they want. Some kids come and they know exactly who they want to support. So maybe they have a friend at school who has cancer, or maybe their dad is in the military, or maybe they saw a commercial about homelessness. I mean, it could be anything, but we can help them, but ultimately it's their choice.
Yeah.
So they have to learn, though, everything about the nonprofit, that, you know, where their money would go. So it's not just, they need to be able to speak to the nonprofit.
Yeah.
So sometimes that means visiting. If they don't know the nonprofit very well. And so we meet with the nonprofit. We've met with Cure. We've met with Ronald McDonald House and say, you know, what is this all about? Like, we love the concept, but can we see it firsthand?
Yeah.
Can the kids feel even more connected to their mission? And our hope is that they learn all these wonderful life skills in the process. They learn the joys of giving at 8, 10, 14 years old.
Yeah.
They realize that community service and philanthropy don't have to be a punishment. It doesn't have to be scooping poop. It doesn't have to be collecting canned goods.
Yeah.
it really can be something that is very fun and meaningful and a way of life.
Something that's inside your passion.
Exactly.
But it's challenging. And that's why I'm going to go back to your story because we're not going to escape it. I'm really fascinated. Okay. I feel like I'm on a cliffhanger. So you had this idea, which is awesome. And then you tried it out with your own money with some friends, but you're still working full time.
Right.
So life is still stable mostly.
And, right.
But there's this thing. So what was that process like? So, and what was the response from people that knew you when you, when you moved in that direction?
Yeah. So the first three kids that we did projects with, they were all successful. Okay. They loved it. And what I found was that they all wanted to do it again. And B, their friends wanted to do it. And so at that point, I decided, you know what? I'm going for it. I'm taking this leap of faith. I've never done anything like this before in my entire life.
You've never, because you'd always worked at, pretty much always worked at
I graduated from college and got my job 2 weeks later and have never worked for anyone else.
Wow.
And was in a management position that I really worked hard for.
Yeah.
And again, single mom. But I also wanted to be a mom.
Yeah.
Because I have a background in child development, and it was something, that's the thing that I've always known about myself, is that I wanted to be a mom. I could not wait to be room mom. I'm the dork who wanted to be a soccer mom.
Right.
Most people look forward to retirement, and I was like, I really want to be room mom. Like,
that's a special gifting.
And you know what? I'm a dork, and I'll own it. But that was just, I wanted to be a mom. And I sat there and I feel like I kind of missed the first couple, you know, the first 5 years of his life because I was sitting in traffic. I was working constantly.
Sure.
And I was doing what I needed to do and doing what I love, honestly. But I decided that I wasn't following my heart and that I had this idea that would not go away. And I wanted to be able to put Parker, my son, on a school bus and get him off the school bus. And I wanted to be able to go have lunch with him and be present in these years. And my job was not allowing me to do that at the time. And it was just one day I decided, just take a leap. Just do it. Like, it was almost like...
So there was no... You hadn't just finished a lengthy business plan. And
no.
Your life coach hadn't met with you multiple times. You were just... It was, I need to do this.
I need to do this.
Wow.
Which was the most uncharacteristic thing about me. My brother is an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I am not. Up until this point.
We might disagree about that.
Up until this point. And so I literally quit my job. And I just went PRN, so just as needed within the hospital. Yeah. So I stepped down, and everybody in my world thought I was having a quarter-life crisis.
Yeah.
They thought, her mom died a couple of years ago. She has lost her mind. What is she doing?
Right.
No. Like...
Because let me ask you this. I meet a lot of people, and one of the things we talk about is their dreams for the future, right? So I will always ask that question, and some people are really uncomfortable talking about that, and other people can tell me exactly what their dreams are. But there's always this kind of point where you suddenly hit a wall, and the wall is the risk involved.
Right.
That it's like, okay, I had this dream, but now I'm at the point where to take the next step would be a significant risk. So what... How did you process through that, or did you, or was it just like, whatever I'm doing? I mean, when you hit that risk question of all the income and the retirement savings and all these things, like, what was that like for you?
That's a good question. I think the way that I kind of handled it at first was not taking the complete leap. So by staying on staff and maintaining a good relationship, it was kind of my safety net. I picked up a lot of shifts. So I made ends meet barely, but I made ends meet. It allowed me, and so I'm very thankful for Children's Healthcare of Atlanta because they allowed me to work, you know, when my son was with his father, those are the shifts I would pick up.
Right.
I would pick up shifts when I could, and I would barely scrape by, and then I would be, I was using my salary. I was not I wasn't getting paid clearly. I filed for my 501c3.
Right.
I used my savings to build a website, drained it, and was scared to death.
Yeah, because it's not like you're starting something where you go, all right, it's scary, but I could be really profitable.
Right. Because
it's like you're starting a nonprofit.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And that there's not a product. There's not like, and nobody's ever heard of anything like this.
Right.
But it was just this heart, and I don't know how else to describe it as much as I believe in this. I believe something has to be done. Mm. And I believe that kids want to be different. Kids want to make a difference. Parents are looking for ways. Mm. Parents need the support. They need that encouragement, and they need the program attached to it. And so I just believe in it very wholeheartedly, and I'm very passionate about it. And so, but I kept that safety net for about a year and a half. Okay. And I very slowly, you know, I asked more kids to participate and asked friends of kids. And what I learned very quickly is that you don't really have to ask for, they want to do it.
Right.
No shortage. They want to.
Because, I mean, in essence, like they put in the sweat equity, but you're providing them with these dollars. And $100 to a kid, I mean, for most kids, for me at least, when I was a kid, I mean, that was like unheard of.
Right.
To get this much money that I'm going to be able to handle.
Right. I mean, and this amazing crazy lady who I don't know is handing it
so
to me.
So there's no shortage, I would imagine, of kids that say, yeah, that's really interesting.
Right. Actually, we have 200 kids on a waiting list right now.
On a waiting list. All right. So that's my, I'm sorry,
yeah,
I'm a financial
we jumped
person.
Way ahead.
No, no, but I'm a financial person, so I have to ask. And anything you don't want me to say later, we'll cut it out.
Yeah.
But in terms of actually living on this,
right,
though, because I would think the hard part about a nonprofit is the tendency is to go, every dollar goes towards more grants,
yes,
and more kids, but then you don't eat, which,
right,
is problematic. So what was, yes, the thought in your mind for how that was going to work?
Right.
Was that well formed when you started it?
No,
or was
no,
just, it's
gosh,
gonna,
no.
It's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I created a business model that I feel like at the time was very sustainable.
Yeah.
And this was all in theory, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and this is still the business model with one minor little tweak, but 80% of whatever the kids raise goes to the charity of their choice. So they get to present that. I call it the Oprah Ellen style check.
Yeah.
We have the party.
Oh yeah.
The other 20% goes back to Kids Boost.
Okay.
And that helps us get the next kid started.
Totally.
My other thing that I was really passionate about is not just helping kids find their passion, but helping adults. Hmm. I have been so fortunate to always love what I do. Hmm. And I am around so many of my friends who are miserable in their jobs, and it makes me so sad.
It's the norm, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And if everybody could find their passion, imagine the difference in the world. Hmm. And so I thought, what if, I worked with volunteers a lot at Children's as well, and I thought, what if we asked volunteers the same thing? What makes your heart happy? Mm. And we paired volunteers with coaches. And so how cool if you loved archery and helping kids with special needs.
Right.
What if you could help a kid who also loves archery and loves, wow, kids, and you could work together on this passion?
Totally.
And so that was the thought. And so a sustainable model because we're not paying our coaches.
Right.
And so the 20% truly is going to the $100 startup money, the website, the taxes, all that kind of business
your
stuff
overhead,
back end.
Yeah.
And I very quickly, about a year and a half into it, realized that volunteering is very different than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
Sure.
That volunteers, everybody has good intentions. But unfortunately, with dual working families, time, people have great intentions, but aren't able to follow through. And when you're building a brand and you're building a, you know, this idea of Kids Boost, the last thing we want to do is have a coach quit in the middle because they have too much on their plate.
Sure.
Which is what ultimately happened a couple of times.
Because it was all totally volunteer.
It was totally volunteer.
Yeah. Having been a youth pastor years ago, I said we would coordinate, you know, hundreds of volunteers, and it's just the coordination of that can be overwhelming.
Yes,
time
and time consuming, yeah,
and there's real damage if,
right,
somebody quits because there's kids actually sitting there.
Right.
Yeah.
And what I realized too is that while you might love archery and helping kids with special needs, you might not be the best at actually working with children and families.
Totally.
Great intentions, but what I want to do is create a program to where every family is different. Every kid is different. And that's what Kids Boost is very different. Nonprofits typically work with groups.
Yeah.
We're one-on-one.
Right.
Every kid's needs are different. And we work with kids of all different abilities and disabilities, all different socioeconomical backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And so I want people that are trained and that have experience working with families with different needs. And so I quickly learned, and I had the help of somebody. I wasn't paying myself for years.
Yeah, I want to come back to that at some point.
Yeah, so
it seems like there's...
I wasn't paying myself.
The eating thing.
Yes, well, the eating thing was rough. Peanut butter and jelly is still a staple in my home. I mean, we eat a lot of peanut butter and jelly. All we do hand-me-downs. Yeah. It was a huge shift.
It's a huge sacrifice.
Oh, yeah. We don't eat out still. We go to the free public movies in the parks. We, I mean, it has been a struggle that I didn't even anticipate.
Yeah, totally.
But I got my son off the bus every day, pretty much. I was able to volunteer in his classroom for every event. He is now going into fifth grade. And he won't want me there much longer.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm questioning if he wants me there this
year. My son just finished fifth grade, so yes. We're just at the point where I had this habit the last year, and this has nothing to do. You're telling this beautiful story, but I should tell you because our son's the same age, where they'd get out of the car when I dropped him off at school in the morning, and then I'd always roll down the window right as they were about 10 feet away. This is going to sound sweet, but it wasn't. It was just my practical joke with them. And I would yell after them, like, I love you, sweetie. And they'd be like, Dad, no, because their friends were walking around. And my fifth grader didn't really mind, and my seventh grader was just devastated. And I've just seen my fifth grader moving more. Like, every time I did it, it was a little more painful.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're at that point.
Uh-huh. He doesn't even, all of his friends are like, hey, Miss Parker, you know, which is my son's first name, but, and, you know, they all come up to me and hug me,
right?
But he like beelines the opposite direction. So
it's a terrifying shift.
Yeah. Oh, and with him being my only, bless his heart, he's in for it. But you
were able to change to have the quality of life that you wanted because that was your first priority.
Yes.
But it was a huge,
huge, I mean, there change. Was lots and there still is, I'm not going to lie. There's still lots of sleepless nights on how am I going to make it work?
Yeah.
But I met with somebody and there was a big grant, at stake.
Okay.
Big gift. And somebody said they're really interested in providing you with a substantial amount of money.
Right.
And I mean, my heart about came out of my chest. I was so excited and we went and we met. And one of the first questions they asked was, so you are a full-time salary. How many other employees do you have? I said, well, actually I haven't taken a salary because the money that we've raised has gone to the program needs.
Right.
And they could not give me the grant because if you think about it, they're not investing in me. They're investing in Kids Boost. So if there is not a paid position attached to it, and if I, unfortunately, something happens to me tomorrow, is somebody going to quit their job to follow my passion?
Mm-hmm.
No. That was a very life-changing moment. Yeah. I went and paid myself that day minimum wage.
Yeah.
And they said, as long as you have, you know, 2 years of a paid, you know, a full-time paid position, it doesn't matter what that is, you become eligible. And what I learned is that that is very much the case. And I get it.
Yeah.
But I hadn't looked at it from that point of view. I also learned that most nonprofits are started by either entities of companies or very wealthy individuals.
Yeah.
And I've been told numerous times, single moms do not start nonprofits and succeed. Well,
sure.
That only fueled my fire. I was like, watch me.
All right. So you literally started this with no plan for how you would ever get income from it.
Well, the plan was, is that...
This is amazing. Every second of this is fantastic.
Go ahead. You thinking I'm the biggest idiot ever?
No, I love this.
So I thought, really it was, well, I had designed it around the 20%, and I knew that one day I was going to be able to pay myself.
Yeah, if the 20% grew enough, that could cover...
Exactly. Yeah, well, sure. And donations.
Yeah.
I do believe in what we're doing, and I knew that general fund donations would eventually support.
Yeah.
But I just have to get it out there and prove what this is.
Hmm.
And so, I mean, I could tell you some pretty funny stories about money, but I can also tell you amazing stories.
I'm sure.
There was one time where I was also had a really bad diagnosis during this time with
personally.
Wow. And it was, and I still get emotional, but I had horrible insurance because that's what you do is you have horrible insurance when you work for yourself and have no money. Mm. And I had to put a massive amount on a credit card to cover my deductible. And there was a time period where I didn't have money to go buy gas or groceries because I had to keep my house. And I didn't share that a lot because I'm of the belief that I'm a grown adult who's capable of working. I made this choice.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for anybody to help me. Mm. And so I really didn't share a lot of that. I just, what can I sell? I sold a lot of stuff to try to buy groceries and to try to make this work. And do you know that that day I just started crying? And I thought, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do this anymore. It's not healthy. Hmm. I can't get the care I need. I can't, you know, it's bad. And the good news is that they removed the cancerous tumor and everything has been good. So that's the good news. But I sat with this horrible debt that was causing me more stress than anything.
Oh, unbelievable.
Well, do you know that I walked out to my mailbox that day? And there was a $250 Kroger card in my mailbox. Still to this day, I don't know who it came from. But it was just enough to fill up my gas tank and to buy groceries for a long time. I mean, because when you're living, you know, I cut coupons. I'm thrifty. But it was just the oomph I needed to think this is what you're supposed to be doing.
At least I can keep going today.
Yeah. And I know it seems silly, but it's
exactly seems silly at all
for $250.
Yeah.
And then I had a group of people rally around me without me knowing. Wow. And they paid off my credit card so that I could continue doing this.
That's incredible.
And so I have a list of people on my wall that all donated to a GoFundMe page that I had no clue about. Mm. And then all of a sudden I get a check in the mail that covered my entire debt.
That's amazing.
And all the message was that we believe in you and we'll believe in this and keep going. And so
how long ago was that? If you know my,
that was, not even 2 years ago.
That's incredible.
So I know it makes me cry. And at that moment, I feel like it was just once again, the reassurance that this is where I'm meant to be. Mm. And this is important work and it's not going to be easy. But the impact is huge on what we're doing in this world with these kids and nonprofits.
And what about the impact on your son?
Yeah.
I mean, what about the impact of him seeing you actually say, I'm not content not going after this passion? And then you living through, like, he might not recognize it totally because he was so young when you started, but
right.
like, to watch you choose to follow this through and follow through on your passions. I mean, what, just like he learns lessons, or any of these kids doing Kid Boost learn lessons by saying, you're going to now go out and get to pursue this. What about him getting to watch you do this? I mean, that's incredible.
You know, I don't know the impact right now. I'm terrified for a little bit. I'm just going to be completely honest here. It's kind of like the preacher son mentality of
I'm
like
a preacher's kid.
Right.
So
I am
going,
too.
Yeah,
right. right. And I rebelled for a bit, you know, but, you know, there is that, am I raising a jerk? Because there's days where he's like, Mom, do we have to go to another meeting?
Right.
You know, but, I'm hopeful, that he can see that one day. He loves Kids Boost. He's just now getting to the age where he's ready to do his own project.
Right.
He can't wait to raise money to help kids play soccer who can't afford it. Little does he know that he might be one of those kids, but
sure.
But no, he now gets it and he loves to be a part of things. Mm. We give him jobs. So he's the cotton candy maker at events sometimes,
sure.
or he comes and participates and gets really excited with the kids and gets to be a part of the process. So, you know, I think it's one of those things where I can only hope and pray that he sees later down the road, the kind of the bigger picture of it, that it's not about money. And it's not about,
yeah,
it's all about fulfillment. And, you know, and hopefully he looks back and says, my mom was there.
Well, let me say from the outside, not knowing you well at all, but just, I can't imagine a better gift to give my kids, far more so than they got to go to every event or they, you know, they got the nicest clothes every time. Like for, to give them the gift of watching and hopefully setting an example that would inspire them so they can look at me or look at my wife or, you know, in your case, look at you and say, my mom actually is passionate and followed through on that.
Well,
and
thank
I want to have the kind of life that I actually don't settle.
Right.
Because
thank you.
There's a disease, isn't there? There's a disease of settling in our culture.
Oh, huge.
And you have been like so few people actually say, I'm willing to take a risk and not do that. So I mean, what a cool
thing
to give. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's true.
And you know, my hope for him is to teach him that. And just to,
but you already are.
Yeah, I hope. Yeah, thank you.
It's not a verbal thing.
Thank you.
And you can say it till you're blue in the face. We all do, don't we? We all tell our kids stuff all the time.
Right.
That then they experience something different from us.
Right.
I will never forget. I love my dad. I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast. I will never forget my dad when I was a kid. He was a pastor. He forced me to read these books that were inspiring to him. And I loved that. I was a reader. I was a nerd. So he gave me this list of books. And one of the books was this story about a missionary who ended up dying for his faith. Through Gates of Splendor. I'm sure Elizabeth Elliot, the whole story, Jim Elliot. Okay. So then I am in college and I call my dad and say, Dad, I think we've decided that we want to go be missionaries in like Peru or something.
Wow.
And he flipped out. He like gave me all the reasons that that was a bad idea. I love and respect my dad so much. I'm so impressed by him. But that was one example where he had, in theory, it was a great idea. Like in theory, he wanted me to emulate this person. But when it was actually like, okay, I might go do this, he was like, whoa, that's not practical.
Right.
You know,
and he wants the best for you.
Because he loves me.
Yes.
Right? I get it. But we all do that all the time. We all say stuff to people and go, oh, this is, we want to be courageous. We want to be adventurous. We want to go reach our dreams. But the actual reality involves like real tangible risk.
Right.
And so we don't do it. And so the lesson we teach kids is, you know, it's just going to end up, all those things are nice to talk about, but that's not what we do with our lives. So what a cool thing. And that's part of what Kids Boost is doing in general, too. It's like going, well, you can take a step beyond just saying, be nice to people around you. Like, you can actually make tangible, real impact.
Yes.
And what could that look like if you believed that early?
So, right. And take the action and do something and make a difference. Yeah. It's been a great journey so far, and I can't wait to see, you know, where this even continues.
I can't wait. I'm totally fascinated now by how this story continues.
Thank you. Because
I've met a lot of entrepreneurs. I've met a lot of nonprofit people. I don't know that I've ever met anybody who did it like this, where you just said, I'm stepping out totally and with really every person. I can only imagine, when you say people told you you were crazy or it was a quarter life crisis, I can only imagine how many people, did you have anybody at that point that said, this is a great idea? Was there anybody you could think of that was like, I totally am behind you?
Well, I think people were a little bit confused at first, like, why are you giving them $100? Like, that doesn't seem smart.
So you're leaving your job to give money to
give
to
money
kids
that you don't have.
Right.
So I think it took people a while, but I have a couple people, and they know who they are, that have been beside me every step of the way and continue to show up in big ways and believed, I think, first in me. Mm. And then now believe in kind of even the bigger picture of Kids Boost.
Yeah.
And I have been so blessed with the best people in the world surrounding me. Mm. I mean, to have that, because I think that I know I wouldn't have made it with that. There's probably three or four people that I could name that I would not have made it this far without, because they were the ones that I could say, I'm tired. My social life has changed dramatically.
I can't imagine,
everything has changed dramatically. When we were talking about, you know, what are we teaching our kids? There's days where I'm like, oh, what I would do to go on a vacation.
Sure.
You know, to take and have the memories with my son at the beach, or to have, but that's just not in our budget right now. And I'm not complaining. I don't want it to sound like that. So there's days where I question it, but you have to look at the bigger picture.
Mm.
You have to look at the bigger picture and know that we're still making memories.
Yeah.
They're different. But we're still making memories and we're having fun doing it. I mean, what kid gets to go to work with their mom and make cotton candy to help kids at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, or, you know, to play in a game truck to help kids go on vacation with chronic illnesses? I mean, so, you know, the pros and the cons, and I think that's the beauty of it, is I have to stay focused on my passion and my why. And that's exactly what we're trying to teach kids, is what is your why? Why are you doing it? And I say that to kids all the time. There are going to be days where you want to just play your video game, but you really need to go out in the community and ask for support. And that's when I'm going to say to you, why?
Yeah.
Tell me your why. What are you doing?
What's going to get you past that?
Yeah.
Like, what's going to get you past that natural impulse?
Exactly.
You know, I'll just play Fortnite.
Exactly.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
Yep. Instead of going and washing dogs for money.
Right.
Because we've had some kids do that. We've had kids do, you know, make dog treats to sell. We've had kids do a little bit of everything, slime parties, dance parties, you know, anything, but it's still work on their part.
Yeah. Let me ask you about that. About really, you said there's a kid waiting list right now. Like, the current state of the nonprofit at this point, you've helped a good amount of kids.
Yes.
I know, and you've gotten more exposure, more people are hearing about it, which means more people are sending in applications, I would imagine, to do this. So the waiting list, if anything, growing?
Every day.
Now? Okay.
Yes. So we have about 200 kids on our waiting list.
Yeah, what does this look like now? How are you, what's the goal to grow this so that we can do more and more projects?
Yes. So what I envision is, we did change our model and we have paid coaches now.
Okay.
So as you can imagine, though, that's hard for a small nonprofit. But we hired our first community coach, who is phenomenal. And so Chelsea started, but my hope is to hire community coaches throughout Georgia.
Okay.
So that they are coaching the kids in their community. We also do a couple programs within schools or troops and giving, because our whole mission is to empower kids to give.
Yeah.
So we go into schools and give kids fun ways to give back. And that's our goal, just teach kids how fun it can be. And so my hope is to have these community coaches that live and work, you know, in communities with their kids. Mm-hmm. And so have these point people throughout. But that takes money. That's where we are right now, because I literally have it written in my office, is, you know, quality over quantity. It's so easy to say, oh, I could start 75 kids.
Yeah.
And look what we could do. That 20% would come back, which it would allow us to do X, Y, and Z. And
sure.
But the fact of the matter is that's what makes this unique, is that we truly are one-on-one, or one-on-two if they, because we do allow kids to partner, if they have their same how and why. Anywho, but that's what makes us unique. And
that's,
so I don't want to grow
like actual real coaching.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't want to grow to a point where it's not giving the kid what they need. And we ask the parents, you know, what do you hope for your kid out of this? What's your hope for them, so that we can make sure that everybody's needs are being met?
Yeah.
And so an average project takes about 3 months. So it's, you know, we're trying to build that. But with that comes fundraising. And so where we are currently is, you know, we're asking for supporters. We're asking for people to invest in kids. And so how cool is it that you could make a donation to a nonprofit? And not only are you making a donation to an amazing cause, but you're giving the money, you're empowering a kid. You're teaching them such important lessons, boosting their self-esteem, their self-confidence, all those things, their courage. But then they're multiplying your money.
Oh, yeah.
And giving it to a great cause.
The impact is, there's so many layers of impact.
So, and I don't know if I've shared this, but to date, we have given kids a little over $6,000 in just a couple years. And they have turned that into more than $115,000.
Holy cow. That's incredible.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. I don't make that kind of return for my clients ever.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. That's amazing.
So can you imagine? So that's about 75 kids, because some kids have worked together.
Wow.
So that's about 75 kids. Can you imagine what we could do with 200 kids? And I also like to point out that the one non-negotiable that I've always had with Kids Boost, I am open to a lot of things. I even said at one point, like, we can change the name if we want. Like, I'm not tied to anything other than the concept. But the one non-negotiable is that Kids Boost will never be mandatory. Because I think, and you said something earlier when you said that your father gave you books, like made you read books.
Right, yeah.
That was met with a very different heart than if you just decided to read the books, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And same thing, if I tell my son, you have to learn how to play the piano, that's not gonna go well in my house.
Yep.
However, if he feels that connection with the piano and decides on his own, Mom, can I learn how to play the piano?
Yeah.
It's going to go very differently.
Yeah, I mean, night and day.
So
what if you find out that a parent has really pushed their kid into doing it because it's good for the kid? Would
so
you guys say,
we had that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, there has been one child who, we haven't really had that experience because we have the opposite happen. Kids will say they want to do the project and the parents will be like, oh, they're too selfish. They won't do it.
Right.
And I'm like,
wow,
let's give them a chance.
Yeah.
And they will blow them out of the water. They will blow them out of the water. They just need the opportunity.
Yeah.
But I think I've had some private schools and some charter schools contact me and want to write curriculum and make it so that every seventh grader goes through Kids Boost or every fifth grader gets the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And why I love that, and that's kind of stage three of my business plan, is to look more at group efforts.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we got to perfect this first and meet these kids' needs. But it's met with a different heart.
Yeah.
And I feel like the second that you mandate something, that's when it becomes punishment. And I think right now we're doing this, it's just my own little soapbox. But when I went to college, on the application, it asked for your extracurricular activities and volunteerism. And I had a lot that I could write down.
Yeah.
Because it was part of my upbringing and who I was as a person.
Right.
Now it's mandatory. So I'm getting phone calls from teenagers saying, if I donate $100, what does that equate to in hours?
Wow.
You know, what can I pay you? And a lot of organizations are doing that. So of course I say no, but I think what's happened is that now it's mandatory.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're getting a different, I think it was well intended.
Yeah.
It was like, what if we give these kids the opportunity?
Right.
But because we're telling kids they have to, it's different.
It changes the whole dynamic. Yeah.
Kids Boost is an intrinsic need. It's because kids want to do this. They want to make a difference. And I tell kids, if at any point this is not fun, let's reconnect.
Yeah.
Because it's not supposed to feel like a chore.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
That's remarkable. All right. So people hearing this, I would imagine two different layers of involvement. If as a parent, I'm listening to you talk and going, okay, I would love my kids, if they want to, right?
No, exactly.
If they want to do this kind of a thing. If a kid wants to explore working with you guys and getting the chance to have this impact, just go to the website. What's the best way for them to connect with you?
Kidsboost.org.
Okay.
There is an application on there. We are going through a website relaunch here pretty soon, so I'm excited about that. But you can do search Kids Boost projects and give your kids the opportunity just to flip through some of the current projects and past projects, and they can kind of see what it is. I think that's the best way to see.
Okay.
But they can apply online, and there is a waiting list, but it's also area specific. So we have coaches in different areas.
Okay.
So it might not be as long as it sounds like it's going to be.
Sure.
And then the other thing I would say is, if you wonder if your kid is ready, have a conversation about if you did have $100 and you could help people, who would you give it to?
Sure.
Open their mind to that and talk to them about what's on their heart. Talk to them about nonprofits, maybe involve them in the parents' financial contributions.
Oh yeah.
You know, see if they're ready for it. For a long time, my child said, well, I would go and buy Legos and I would play with them. And then when I'm done, I'd donate them.
Right.
And to them, and I'm like, okay, so we're not quite there yet.
Right. We're close.
But that's so age appropriate.
Yeah.
And that's normal. Your kid is not a jerk.
Which is the question, by the way, what do you see as the ideal? What's the age range of kids you're working with and what's that ideal?
Yeah. Range? 8 to 14.
Okay.
Is kind of our prime. Some 8-year-olds are not ready.
Yeah.
I'll be completely honest and tell you that my son was not ready. That's when he was buying Legos and sharing them. But now at 10,
yeah,
he sees it. But some kids at 8 years old are very ready.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of individual based on, you know, what, and that's a good way to find out if they're ready. All the way up to 14. We do work with some kids that are older, but what we've learned is that there's more opportunities for high schoolers and they are very busy.
Sure.
So I kind of call that middle school age. It's our prime spot because they still want so badly to make a difference.
Yeah.
They are motivated. They just need a little guidance.
Well, I have two middle schoolers, so we'll see. Okay.
Yes.
So that's one layer of involvement. The other side of this is people listening going, that is so different and unique, and I'd love to be a part of what they're doing. And you've already mentioned, obviously, donations are a huge part of this.
Yes.
So how would someone get involved or understand more about how they could donate? And is there specific ways to donate where it's towards a general thing or more specific things? What does that look like?
Yeah, so there's a couple different ways. Okay. There's very easy ways to donate. All this is on kidsboost.org.
It's the same website.
Same website. I'm very big on letting you know where your money goes. So if you donate to the general fund, you'll get to see which kid benefits from your donation.
Yeah.
And we're looking for individual donations. We're looking for corporate sponsors who want to have a bigger impact.
Sure.
And who, you know, maybe want even their employees' kids to get involved and they want to see this, you know, a bigger impact. They want to, they want to see where their money is going.
Yeah.
So there's a couple different opportunities from a corporate level or a bigger donor level. We also have, Amazon wish list. We ask people to also use their talents and goods. So for instance, we have a party coming up of two little girls that wanted to have a unicorn horse party. I put it out there.
Yes. Right. Of course.
Because who wouldn't?
Mm-hmm.
And they want to help. One of them does not have any hair and didn't have enough money to buy a wig.
Wow.
And so Wigs for Kids donated a wig. And so now they want to host a unicorn magic party. Actually, they named it Maine-tastic. Maine hair. Get it?
This is amazing.
Isn't it? And so to be able to raise enough money so that another kid can get a wig.
Yeah.
But we needed people to help us. I don't have unicorns or horses.
Right.
So we put it out there to the community, and lo and behold, there was this great group of women who love horses and invited us to their barn, and they are helping us host. Restaurants have helped us out. Game trucks have helped us out. We've had people that are artists help us out. Graphic designers. I mean, because these kids have their logos for their baseball tournaments. And so we even ask people, if you don't have money to necessarily donate, do you have a gift and talent that you would be willing to share with us? Because that's what's kept us going this entire time. It's definitely a community organization.
That's amazing. Well, I am blown away by what's going on. It's
Thank you. Really exciting. Thank you.
Again, kidsboost.org. And I'm serious. I'm going to talk to my kids. I mean, my boys, I think, would love this. They're both in middle school. And I'm excited to share this. I spend a lot of time talking with parents, and there's constantly a question, how can I help my child move towards independence? But that includes responsibility and growth and really getting passionate about, you know, like moving in their own direction. And I love that underlying this is this move to help kids see the power they have and the influence they can have. So that's so neat. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For taking the time.
I appreciate this.
I am so excited to see where all this goes.
Thank you.